Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The scripture before us this morning is the epistle lesson appointed for this day and read a moment ago. And we shall share once again verse 8 of Romans chapter 14. If we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live, whether we die, we are the Lord's. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the quest of our lives is to make some sense out of living and dying. The more so when we become of age, when the prospects of living are shortened and the prospect of dying looms large. For Norman Mailer, interviewed one evening last week by Charlie Rose, the center has always been writing. He is a prolific author. Now, Mailer, in his 80s, states that he believes in God. You can imagine Charlie Rose was surprised at that remark. Could it be that Mailer is driven by that quest to make some sense out of living and dying? Where are we leading here? St. Paul writes in chapter 14 of Romans to believers who are in conflict, in trouble. One judges his brother, and that brother despises the one who judges. Their conflict, it seems, is over something very trivial, that is food. What food to eat, what food to avoid. Look there. Who is eating? Look there, who is not eating? Hardly a life and death matter, but the apostle's answer to this dispute is weighted with words which address the more serious quest to make sense out of living and dying. Many are the questions surrounding life and death. Have you noticed? The New Testament literally leaps beyond those questions to the day and the hour when the dead, all who are in the tombs, wherever, whatever, will hear the voice of the Son of God and come forth, John 5. The Lord's voice will be accompanied with a great trumpet. In fact, most references in the New Testament to the trumpet sound are references to the raising of the dead. Christ coming, the dead rising. And still, we live in the not yet time, and we die still in the not yet state. People at large, Christians too, express that not yet state until Christ comes variously. And some of their expressions seem to us theologians perhaps excessive, sometimes fanciful. Some we dismiss as anthropomorphisms that carry a cosmological imagery of one kind or another. Yesterday on Veterans Day, an old soldier praise the war dead, marching with the army above. Soul sleep, soul travel, soul extinction. Take your pick. The nihilists have nothing to say about the beyond. Oprah says, for every soul that goes up there, an angel comes down to earthbound persons. And the Christian lady, standing at the casket of her mother, remarks to her pastor, Mom is with Jesus in heaven. We can be glad for her. Now, is this Christian lady overextending the not yet into a now state of the soul with Jesus? You know, grief takes many turns, and should we be too hard on this lady? In her own mind, she is not mimicking the world's speculation and probing beyond, not at all. She is making inferences from the scriptures, and of this she is very certain. Enoch, it is said, was not here any longer, for he walked with God, Genesis 5. And Elijah went up in a whirlwind to heaven, and he was seen no more here, 2 Kings 2. He appears next with our Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration and with Moses, who had died in the land of Moab, the Lord burying him there, Deuteronomy 34. By very human instincts, we want to think well of our loved ones who have died. And Christians take comfort from their interpretation of these scriptures and others, Luke 23:43, reporting the Lord's words to the dying thief, truly I say to you today, St. Maron, you will be with me in paradise, and also St. Paul speaking, as it were, in the present tense on two counts, both his desire to be with the Lord and his commitment and contentment to remain here, all according to whatever the Lord wills. Years ago, Oscar Coleman framed this debate in a little book about which he stated, no other publication of mine has provoked such enthusiasm nor such violent hostility. And where shall we carry this debate this morning? Where except to the verses of the middle of Romans chapter 14? To umpire that conflict between those with binding scruples about food and those who had no scruples and were free to eat food of all kinds, St. Paul appealed to a preeminent higher truth. We are the Lord's. So why this squabbling, one judging and the other censoring, when both of us belong to the Lord and both of us shall stand before the Lord on that last day? You see, the apostle embraces both states, living and dying. In these few verses, there are three phrases about living and dying. Twice the apostle asserts such living and dying is to the Lord, leading to his most important point, we are the Lord's. For this purpose, he died and rose again, that he might become Lord both of the dead and of the living, and that we might belong to the Lord. Oh, there is a grand overhearing in this text, is there not? Soul sleep, soul travel, soul life matters not. Our going on, our continuity beyond death, how it is then with us, not the point at all. Rather, most important is Christ Jesus and his continuity, that whatever state, whether we live or die, by his death on the cross, and all that means and all that Paul has expounded in the chapters preceding, justifying grace, forgiveness of sins, his righteousness, not ours, and by his rising to life, bringing immortality to light by the gospel. And all this for us today, for us, his body, his blood. We are the Lord's. He sees to that. Neither vagueness surrounding the not yet state, nor the cataclysmic disintegration of worlds around us at the end shall ever be able to shake our security. In the Lord, live it up. In the Lord, die in peace. The Lord makes sense out of dying and living. Simply, he reigns, he rules, and we belong to him. Nothing, life, death, beyond, changes that. We are the Lord's.